This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
We're always happy when Dan Murphy of ESPN stops by to visit us, and he joins us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. All right, Dan, before we get into all the news with Mark Emmert and NIL, we were just talking about a story. A guy finished last in his fantasy football league. He had to spend 24 hours at a Waffle House. Each waffle that he ate, it would shave off 1 hour of the time there. How many waffles can Dan Murphy consume in 24 hours?
Oh, wow. That's a great bet. We allow people to rename the last place finisher's team name for the following year in our fantasy league, which I thought was fun, but the Waffle House thing seems brutal. I think I could probably get through, I don't know, at least a dozen in 12 hours and then walk out at that, I would hope.
Shave it in half, which would be pretty good, Dan. So your latest article out at ESPN.com now discusses how a group of conference commissioners is actually on board with one way that they would like to see name, image, and likeness go, but there may not be a consensus across college football. How confusing is this going to be to actually come to some sort of agreement, maybe before July 1st when this hits, or even down the road past that?
Well, I think they have to figure something out before July 1st, or they're very motivated to figure something out before July 1st, that's for sure. I guess we shouldn't say have to. But yeah, I mean, it boils down to, you know, the NCAA has created these working groups and committees and special, you know, meetings and stuff like that for 2 years now. And we're 10 days away from, you know, live bullets being fired in name, image, and likeness era for college sports. And, you know, suddenly a new proposal has emerged, which basically says, we're not going to touch this. It's up to the individual schools to figure it out. So it's an interesting time. And to me, one of the more interesting pieces of it is the folks that have been working for a couple of years on a more, you know, sort of hands-on approach proposal are, you know, two of the more powerful folks on that group are Bob Bowlesby, who runs the Big 12, and Gene Smith, who's probably the most powerful athletic director in the Big 10. And so it's those two, and then the other three conferences, the commissioners of the SEC, ACC, and Pac-12 are signed on to this new plan, which is a much more hands-off approach to letting, you know, state laws take effect and then making individual schools figure it out from there.
How concerned is the NCAA over antitrust lawsuits if they don't get federal aid?
Yeah, that's what's motivating this, right? I think a lot of people were hoping that there was going to be a federal law. Congress was going to put into place a law that would sort of govern name, image, and likeness rules. And the NCAA was really pushing hard for that law to include some language that would protect them from antitrust lawsuits. They're in the middle of a couple of antitrust lawsuits right now. The Supreme Court is actually weighing in on one of them. Could be as soon as like an hour from now that we hear from the Supreme Court, or any time in the next week or two that they might release an opinion about this case. But yeah, I think that's very much motivating this new proposal that's on the table, is that if there are any sort of blanket restrictions passed on to all NCAA schools, they're afraid that that will be looked at as violating antitrust laws and creating a, you know, basically an artificial cap on this marketplace, which is, I think, the main reason why you see this new proposal emerging at this late stage in the game.
Dan, how much has the NCAA stance changed since the initial talks and kind of addressing this, seeing how states reacted, what they've heard from Congress? What was the theme then? What is the theme now? What's the line of thinking for Mark Emmert and the NCAA after going through some of those loops, hurdles, and now it seems to be a standoff?
Yeah, when this first really cropped up in a serious way a couple of years ago, the NCAA and Mark Emmert's first reaction was, this is an existential threat. We cannot let colleges make money from, our college players rather, make money from endorsement deals. And as soon as some of the state laws started to pass, that changed to become, you know, we need one national law to govern all of this stuff, so it's at least equal among every state. And now that ship has seemed to sail, at least for the immediate time being this summer. And so now it's, you know, they want to do something. They want to open the door at least partway for every college athlete at the start of this summer. But it is going to be, you know, almost certainly at this point, it will be a piecemeal approach where different athletes will have different rules of what they're allowed to do depending on the state where their school is located. And, you know, more and more, I think the NCAA has been hoping for help from Congress, from the federal court system, and they haven't gotten help or even conclusive answers at this point. And they've kind of been counting on somebody else to give them a path or an off ramp to figure out how to do this. And we're getting up close to that date and it hasn't come yet. So, you know, it may just be that things, the calendar changes July, things sort of unfold and it's a little bit chaotic, but they just kind of keep their hands off and see where things land.
Dan Murphy of ESPN joining us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. His latest write-up on name, image, likeness is at ESPN.com now. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Murphy ESPN. So what do you think with this bogus statement letter that Mark Emmert puts out late last week? What was he directing there? What was he attempting to accomplish by releasing this statement?
Yeah, so Emmert put out this memo to, you know, I think all of the, you know, college athletic directors and schools to try to urge folks to take some action, right? He technically, the NCAA has to rely on its council, which is made up of athletic directors and university presidents and folks like that, to actually pass any of the rules that they want to be passed. And he was trying to urge folks that you got to do something before July 1st. We can't have a handful of states going into effect with these new laws and have everybody else not have those options. And one of the things he included is if the council doesn't do something, then he's trying to look at options for how he would take executive action, right? So this is the analogy here would be like if Congress decides not to do something and then the president comes over the top and says, we're doing this anyway. The interesting part to me is I don't know that he has the authority to do that. You know, he must if he put it in a memo, but if he has had the authority to do that all along, it's kind of confusing as to why they haven't, flexed that muscle a little bit more in the past. So, I think it all adds up to this is going to be a pretty wild week, you know, between now and next Monday, could be a really interesting time and could sort of, some of the fissures or disagreements or you know, differences of opinion, I guess, that are circling around some of the most powerful people in college sports right now are coming to a head. And I think there will be a bit of a power struggle that we'll see come to the surface over the course of the next 10 days. And it'll be really interesting to see who wins out.
Best guess, Dan, by Labor Day, what will be the policy by the NCAA on NIL?
Yeah, I think, you know, this summer, I think it's fair to say that there will still be different rules for different states by the start of college football season. I don't think that Congress is going to be able to put together a law by then. So I think we'll see, the door somewhat cracked open for every college athlete. But if you're in a state like Florida or Alabama or Georgia or some of the other ones that have laws, and in fact, you may have more opportunities than athletes in other states that don't have laws going into effect.
All right, so Dan, in your opinion, how much has the NCAA's power, if you will, diminished in the eyes of the member institutions that it governs since all of this began?
Well, I think there are a lot of really frustrated athletic directors or people who work within athletic departments right now who are wondering, you know, what is it that the folks in Indianapolis really do if they haven't been on top of trying to provide guidance through this process? And I think they're, it's been clear for a lot of reasons, right? Not just the NIL thing, but, you know, whether it's a college football playoff or some of the different, the way COVID was handled over the past year, that the power of the NCAA's sort of governance has definitely taken a back seat to the power that's controlled by, you know, folks in those big five conferences and other sort of individual athletic directors who are more involved in the process. I think it's very clear that it's a more decentralized model. And I think part of that's because of trying to avoid some of these legal issues that pop up. Nobody wants the responsibility or the liability for being the person who made decisions. So that accountability sort of gets lost and left up to individual schools or individual conferences rather than a sort of uniform approach from the NCAA.
Dan, there's a lot of conversation as to who will benefit from this the most, but a lot of people direct that towards schools. Will athletes at Alabama, Texas, LSU, Ohio State benefit more so than athletes at other schools? But could the real game changer in this be athletes in non-revenue sports? Based on my research, over half of the most followed collegiate athletes right now are from non-revenue generating sports. Could that be where this really maybe changes the game more so than anywhere else?
It'll be really interesting to see, and I think that you know, nobody knows for sure, right? Nobody knows how much demand there's going to be for this brand new marketplace. Nobody knows, like, the ways in which, you know, I think a lot of people talk about, you know, putting up an ad on Instagram or your social media following and stuff like that, which is a huge piece of this, but right, it's not the only piece. And the ways that athletes might take advantage of this with start being entrepreneurs themselves, starting up their own businesses, all kinds of crazy doors that will be open. Like the possibilities go way further than my imagination. And I think anybody can really think through right now. And you're right. It's not directly tied to how many times your highlights show up on SportsCenter or how big of a superstar you are where you are in the Heisman race, right? There are a lot of other ways that athletes can gain notoriety or can build even niche audiences that are really attractive to potential brands that want to, you know, pay them to endorse a certain product. So, it's going to be, yeah, I don't think there's a direct correlation between, you know, how popular or what position you play on the biggest football team versus how much money you'll be able to make. And yeah, maybe it is an opportunity for female athletes or sports that get overlooked a lot to suddenly have this opportunity to promote themselves in a way they haven't before and might, you know, grow their fan base substantially.
Dan Murphy, ESPN, always great stuff. Dan, we appreciate you joining us. It'll be interesting just to see what happens there in the next couple of days and if Mark Emmert does, in fact, act when these other schools appear to just be playing the waiting game. But July is right around the corner.
Yeah, thanks. I feel like we've been talking about this with you guys for a couple of years now. It's fun to see it coming to a head. So nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, always fun. It's Dan Murphy, ESPN, joining us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Zero sugar, zero carbs, only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.